into sports.
20 yards out, Urch to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No,
videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The News Round on Off The Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
You're very welcome along to Thursday's Off The Ball. Will O'Callaghan sitting in for Nathan Murphy on this Thursday. A lot to come between now and 10 p.m. Huge names on the show after 8 o'clock when we talk rugby. Two former Lions captains, Sam Warburton and Paul O'Connell, have been speaking to Joe Molloy ahead of the final weekend of the Guinness Six Nations, and also looking forward to the Lions tour of South Africa next summer. Also to come between now and 10 o'clock, we will be talking about Dundalk in the Europa League. Huge game for them in Group B there in North London to take on Arsenal at the Emirates. The team news is in. We'll get it from Richie McCormack in a moment. And we'll be keeping an eye on all the games in the Europa League. Celtic currently 2-0 up in France. Jose Mourinho making four changes at half-time, with Spurs currently behind at Antwerp. And also Leicester 2-0 up, just early stages of their game in the second half. We'll be keeping you up to speed on all of those, talking to Johnny Ward about the Europa League and also the happenings in the League of Ireland over the last 24 hours, including potentially a dramatic reprieve for Cabinteely, which could happen if they take an appeal. But it looks at the moment as if Galway are going to be playing in the playoffs in the First Division on the back of a successful appeal by Wexford. Cork have been sold to the owner of Preston North End for the princely sum of €1. All that to look forward to with Johnny Ward. And Mark Ogden will be here to talk Manchester United and Man City from the Champions League this week. And of course, John Giles is along at 7:30. Here to navigate the news round, though, joined by Richie McCormack. Richie, good evening to you.
Evening, Will. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Joe Molloy's with us as well. How are you getting on, Joe?
Great, lads. How are you doing?
Europa League, does it whet the appetite for you, Joe, particularly when you look at Dundalk away from home at the Emirates, albeit, as Dan McDonald was saying to you last night, very unfortunate that the Lily Whites fans can't be there for tonight.
Oh, it does massively when it's Dundalk there, yeah, for sure. I mean, novelty value alone. It's such a pity that the fans aren't there. Like, you can imagine the Irish community coming out in the way that they did for Shamrock Rovers when they were in London against Spurs, what, nearly 10 years ago now? So that is a massive pity. But yeah, like, the novelty of sitting down to watch Dundalk at the Emirates right now is... it's brilliant. And, you know, even for the players, wasn't it? Listening to Michael Duffy, who has picked his confirmation name in honour of Thierry Henry, even for the players, they're kind of in that weird space of looking around and understanding that this is a career highlight and also still trying to give a good account of themselves. So, yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, Duffy gets a chance to patrol that left wing at the Emirates like Thierry Henry did once upon a time. Richie, when we look at the team, though, I was looking at the UEFA team sheets on the way in. It looks like Dundalk are going for a change in shape compared to the Molde game last week.
Yeah, effectively, they've ditched last week's fullbacks, Dara Leahy and Sean Gannon, among those making way. Greg Sloggett is the other change from that defeat to Molde last week. I'll bring you the team news. We've got it to hand at the moment. Gary Rogers starts in goal. It's a back three then of Brian Gartland, Andy Boyle and Dan Cleary. Across the midfield, it looks like the fivesome of John Mountney, Sean Murray, Chris Shields, Patrick McElhaney and Cameron Dunnigan, who makes his first start in Europe for the club. And then Michael Duffy, as you mentioned, will be in support of Pat Hooban. For Arsenal, Alex Runnerson starts in goal for them. They're going with a 4-3-3 with Cedric Suarez, Shkodran Mustafi, Sead Kolasinac and Ainsley Maitland-Niles their back four. In midfield, it's Joe Willock, Mohamed Elneny, Granit Xhaka, and then the front three of Reece Nelson, Eddie Nketiah and Nicolas Pepe.
On the face of it, Richie, there's quite a few changes in that Arsenal team. They probably have one eye on Manchester United at the weekend, but still a pretty strong side Mikel Arteta has put out there.
It is, yeah. I mean, this is close on the side that did in Liverpool, albeit on penalties in the Carabao Cup a couple of months ago. And there is some quality within that side. Eddie Nketiah is somebody who's very, very dangerous. He showed that in the Europa League last season. He showed it in the early stages of this season as well. Joe Willock as well was one of those standout performers at Anfield when Arsenal went up there and beat Liverpool in the Carabao Cup. Where you'd look at potentially the area that could be exploited for Dundalk if they are willing to press themselves forward in that manner would be that central defensive partnership, because I don't think anybody could ever convict Shkodran Mustafi or say Kolasinac of breaking any speed limits anytime soon. So if there is a chance to get in behind either of those centre backs, when you've got Ainsley Maitland-Niles pushing on, when you've got Cedric Suarez pushing on, there's every chance that by playing those two wide men, Mountney and Cameron Dunnigan, that they can manage to get in behind Arsenal tonight. I don't think it's going to be, from the way Filippo Giovannioli's been talking heading into this game, I don't think it's going to be Dundalk 100% putting 10 men behind the ball. They're going to take opportunities as they arise. They're going to try and, you know, prod and poke and see what's there for them against this Arsenal side. It mightn't be much, granted, but I don't think they're going to be going there cowed by any means.
Yeah, I think Mountney was probably their best player in Tala last Thursday night. Joe, what do you think Dundalk's approach is going to be? I mean, we heard from Filippo Giovannioli and also from Shane Keegan, who's going to be their coach on the sideline for this evening's game. And they both said, look, it's a case of being brave. It's a case of taking the game to Arsenal. Is that likely to have been bluster, or do you reckon they are actually going to try and have a go tonight?
A bit of both. I think both are possible, aren't they? You want to hang in there. I mean, first 10 minutes, I have no doubt they will be saying, let's keep things relatively tight. Hey, if we can hang on to the ball and take the sting out of this thing, all the better. There's no value in being cavalier right from the off. I suspect professionals feel their way into a game. They will sense very, very quickly how they compare to Arsenal players physically with regard to speed, technical ability. They'll get a sense of things early on, and they may well sense things and then retreat a little bit. Realistically, what, 2-3-0 would be very, very acceptable this evening from a Dundalk perspective. Obviously, stranger things have happened, and you don't want to go out there and be on the end of a slightly embarrassing scoreline. So I think there'll be a degree of going out there, hanging in. If it's nil all after 20 minutes, fantastic. And they won't be too worried about, you know, making it a spectacle. So bravery comes into it a little later on. I mean, I think you go out there and you size up what you're up against, and they're up against something pretty considerable. So no, I don't suspect, you know, it'll be full throttle in the first couple of minutes. But, you know, myself and Dan were talking last night. I think Giovannioli has been very impressive, not least considering the manner in which he entered Irish football, which was to widespread ridicule. Mm. And it was an example of madness at Dundalk. He expresses himself very, very well in English. He is having a bit of fun. Like, I'm all for him wearing his suits, sponsored suits, and, you know, his paddy cap, and enjoying the occasion. But he's not a court jester either. And, you know, he's made a good impression, and the word seems to be, even off the record, that his credentials on the pitch, on the training pitch, are good, you know, that the Dundalk players have taken to him. So it's all so much more positive than we were thinking when he first arrived. It felt like there was an inexorable decline imminent when he arrived, and that doesn't seem to be happening. So go out 2-3-0, more than acceptable. So I think that'll be their approach in the main.
Richie, yeah, he mentioned last week, Will, yeah, that, like, further to Joe's point there, that Giovannioli's essentially done his job already. He's done the job that he was appointed to do. Like, they're close on securing that third position in the Premier Division.
Probably helped he last got night
them
too.
He got them into the Europa League as well, into the group stages. So everything they asked of him, and he mentioned this last week after the defeat to Malta, he's achieved, or is on the verge of achieving. So he's in bonus territory here. Like, if he manages to acquit himself well, if he manages to put out a Dundalk side that don't disgrace themselves against one of the stronger teams in the Premier League, then that's, you know, everything that will add to his CV, and fair play to him. I think he's been a great addition to the league. We're able to talk about a manager and a personality in the league, and somebody who's actually doing pretty well in their job too. Like, so, more for him.
Yeah, and the most stylish manager since Roddy Collins. Giovannioli has been speaking as well, Richie, ahead of this game.
Yeah, and the interim head boss knows that they are massive, massive underdogs tonight.
Yes, there is a big difference. And but what was the question? What do you think I have to respond to answer to this? I mean, it's quite obvious that there is, like, an heavyweight boxer against a super lightweight, right? So we will just need to try to make them run uncomfortable a little bit. Yes, I mean, everything is tomorrow in this game is obvious. The difference, the quality, let's make the passion something maybe bigger in our side.
Yeah, and kickoff coming up at the Emirates just after 8 o'clock. Of course, the news round is with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette is made of more. It is a busy evening in the Europa League, Richie, and some of the Premier League teams and Celtic are in action currently.
Yeah, they are. I should mention as well, it's an 8 o'clock kickoff to the other game in Dundalk's group. Malta playing host to Rapid Vienna tonight, 8 o'clock, as I say. They're getting underway in Norway. Also underway at 8 is the Group D meeting of Rangers and Lech Poznan at Ajax, or at Ibrox. During to the second half in a clutch of 5:55 kickoffs. Among them, looks like Neil Lennon is going to ease the pressure on himself in charge of Celtic. They are currently 2-0 up away to Lille. Both of those goals coming inside the space of 5 first half minutes from Mohamed El Yanoussi. Leicester now 2-1 up away to AEK Athens. Those goals in the first half from Jamie Vardy, first in the penalty spot, and Hamza Choudhury getting the second. Muammar Tankovic has capitalised on a high line from Leicester. He got in behind and pulled one back for the Athens side 4 minutes after half time. And in Belgium, it's still Antwerp 1, Tottenham 0. That goal coming from Lior Rafailov, the Israeli international, in 29 minutes. A four substitutions made by Jose Mourinho at the break. Giovanni Lo Celso, Dele Alli, Steven Bergwijn and Serge Aurier, the men to make way for Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, Eric Lamela, Lucas Moura and Son Heung-min as they chase this game. And Gareth Bale has also just made way in the past couple of minutes after making a start tonight for Harry Kane. So Jose Mourinho needing to pull something out of the fire here tonight as they trail Royal Antwerp by that goal to nil.
Yeah, making all those subs early in the second half. Go on, Joe.
Just on Celtic, it's interesting. We did a piece last night with Robert Grieve from the Scottish Sun. So Neil Lennon is under massive pressure at the moment. He's in press conferences talking about what he's calling fake news. I'm not sure you should use that term generally, but that's Neil Lennon's take on things. There are polls in the newspapers wondering, should Neil Lennon be sacked? Now, they lost to AC Milan. Yes, they lost the Old Firm and they drew 3-3 at the weekend. I suppose that does constitute a crisis when you're at Celtic. But interestingly, Shane Duffy has been at the forefront of the criticism. So Robert Grieve, who was on last night, is a very fair journalist, and he was saying that Duffy has just made very high-profile errors, a couple of big moments where he should have done much, much better. And he is getting it in the neck at the moment, Shane Duffy. I know it's a bubble there, so maybe we're not as aware, but for instance, Chris Commons described him as rank rotten and said he's an accident waiting to happen. Lennon has had to come out and describe the criticism of Duffy as hysterical. So it seems he started well, Duffy, but he's having a really tough time at the moment.
Yeah, not helped by giving away a penalty, which thankfully, from his point of view, it was missed by Lille. Celtic continue to lead by a couple of goals in France. But yeah, it has been a rocky enough start for Shane Duffy in the centre of that Celtic defence. Richie, in terms of the Vuelta, we were kind of celebrating at around about 4 o'clock, and then not soon afterwards, we found out that Sam Bennett hadn't won today's stage.
Yeah, joy turning to despair for Sam Bennett after today's ninth stage of the Vuelta España. The Caracon Sure rider thought he claimed the stage win and his second of this year's race. His 50th career stage victory would have been as well, only to be later disqualified for barging into a competitor just before they rounded into the final straight today. The stage instead was handed to Pascal Ackermann. Richard Carapaz retains the overall race leader's red jersey, Dan Martin staying 28 seconds behind in third, and in between is Primoz Roglic. He's just 13 seconds down on Carapaz.
Joe, you're on double duty today. You were on Golf Weekly a bit earlier. Nathan was away, but you had Peter Lawrie and Fionn Davenport on with you for Golf Weekly. What was up for discussion this week?
I mean, I guess we're 2 weeks out from the Masters, so that's where golf is at the moment. And the most recent tournament was in California, where Tiger Woods finished second last. So any sense that Woods, who is defending champion at the Masters, any sense that he has any kind of form is null and void. Every single aspect of Woods' game at the moment is behind on strokes gained, which is the metric they use to compare you to the field. So that has never happened before from Woods' point of view. Maybe one aspect of his game, but all six areas that they measure behind. So we're kind of getting close to writing off Woods. A lot of the players aren't playing at the moment. They're at home honing their preparations, like Bryson DeChambeau. McIlroy played as well. In typical McIlroy fashion, unfortunately, played terribly on the first day and then reversed into a 17th finish in the end with some good play at the weekend. He snapped his club, which is very, you know, not like him. He's you know, not that type of player. He snapped his club in frustration on the Thursday. So again, he's not finding greens with wedges in hand, and that it will cost him badly at Augusta, where you have to be razor sharp with your wedges into those greens. So that's the on the course stuff, Masters on the horizon. Obviously, Jack Nicklaus came out and decided thumbs up for the Donald, doing it for the working man, and warned against the rise of socialist America if Joe Biden gets in.
No coincidence, Joe, that he's receiving money from the Trump administration currently for his charity. I think it was $20 million he's received towards his hospital charities.
And even more egregious, the charity thing I can live with, you know, he's been paid several millions to build golf courses for Donald Trump. Mm. So, you know, he's there's a business arrangement there. So that, look, that's kind of grim. And then I think you've a clip as well. Bubba Watson did an interesting interview. I guess you never know what's going on with people.
All right, here we go. It's what Bubba was talking about.
So he spoke to Steve DiMeglio of USA Today, and he just opened up about crippling anxiety that has dogged him for years. And perhaps it's not, you know, it wouldn't perhaps kind of raise your interest as much to say, oh, you know, I've got this anxiety, because, I mean, he's talked about having OCD in the past, and he admits, he's always said he's been very fidgety. You watch him, he can be very, but no, I mean, it's how bad it got. So all that weight loss,
yeah,
which you think is down to, is he trying to improve something to do with athletic? No, it's to do with an inability to eat because of stress. He just stopped eating.
Wow.
He lost 35 pounds because of it. And for a guy like him, like, he really got thin. He was rushed to hospital because he thought he was having a heart attack. Like, the palpitations got so bad. He obsessed with death, so much so. And in this, he talks about his father, Jerry, and his namesake, who is a former Green Beret who had post-traumatic stress disorder and died in 2010 after a battle with cancer. But it was interesting to hear him echo his own father's experiences of PTSD, and that how he identified that stress, that sense of that crippling, gnawing anxiety that just eats away at you. And in Bubba's own case, physically ate away at him to the point that, as I said, he lost all his weight. He admits to having sought professional help, was in frequent contact with doctors. So DiMeglio really pushed him on this. And he goes, look, I've never made a secret of the fact that I've got issues. I've got attention deficit disorder. I'm jittery. But he says, and the quote here is, and ultimately, Bubba Watson is still a product. You know, he's still the kid from Baghdad, Florida, isn't he? He's still the guy who's kind of quirky and a bit offbeat. And by all accounts, very, very funny. And the quote that struck me was like, I've sought help in many different ways, many different forms, trying to overcome it. And then he goes, it really comes down to me being nuts. I'm trying to make light of it because using humor helps, but it's all in my head. It's all anxiety.
And Golf Weekly is available currently wherever you get your podcasts from, also on otbsports.com, or you can watch it on our Off the Ball YouTube. It is brought to you in association with Now TV. Stream live football action with a Now TV Sky Sports Pass, and you can watch sport on your own terms. Richie, there's been a goal in France. Not good news for Celtic fans. It's one pullback for Lille.
Maybe not all as rosy as we presumed it would be. Would be a corner for Lille, which is flicked onto the head of Zeki Celik for Lille, who fired into the back of the net to make it 2-1. And allied to that missed penalty 4 minutes before the break for Lille as well, it's looking like it's particularly rocky for Celtic heading into the final 20 minutes in France. But Neil Lennon's side still leading by 2-1. Spurs 1-0 down away to Antwerp, and Leicester are 2-1 up away to AEK Athens. Connacht's meeting with Benetton in the Pro 14 has been called off. It's after three positive COVID-19 cases cropped up at the Italian side. The teams are due to meet at the sports ground on Monday. The Pro 14 are to examine where they can fit the rearranged fixture, if at all, into the schedule. While Gaël Ficou moves to the wing in place of the injured Teddy Thomas for France's Six Nations showdown with Ireland on Saturday, Montpellier's Arthur Vincent comes in at inside centre, and it's the only change from last weekend's win over Wales. A bonus point win for Ireland, as we know, will seal the title in Paris.
Meanwhile, Cork City, under new ownership, are set to be, Richie, after their period under Forrest. Eventually, late last night, the decision was made that they're going to sell.
Yeah, an overwhelming majority, it seems, of Forest members voted in favour of selling Cork City to Grovemore Limited last night. The company is run by the Preston North End owner, Trevor Hemmings. Grovemore can now exercise their option to purchase the Leaside club for €1 whilst taking on all of Cork's debts in the process.
First Division then. It's been a dramatic day off the pitch, but has huge implications on the pitch ahead of the promotion playoffs. And Galway, who thought that they'd narrowly missed out in the playoffs, are now due to play in them.
Yeah, Galway United replacing Cavan Tealy in those SSE or Tristy First Division playoffs on Saturday. It's after Wexford won their appeal to an independent arbiter over a player eligibility issue. The original results from the four games played by Ola Adameo have been reinstated, meaning Cavan Tealy drop from fifth to sixth in the table and Galway move up one place. As a result, they'll be away to Bray on Saturday while UCD will face Longford.
As I mentioned, big weekend in rugby. We'll be hearing Joe's interview with Sam Warburton and Paul O'Connell just after eight. But the England team news is in ahead of their game against Italy, where in all likelihood, England are going to get a bonus point against a team who haven't won in 30 games in the Six Nations. But what kind of team has Eddie Jones picked for that trip to Rome?
An interesting one, it seems. Eddie Jones has handed Exeter lock Johnny Hill his debut for the match against the Azzurri. Mako and Billy Vunipola return to the pack alongside Sam Underhill. Inside fly half George Ford. Centre Manu Tuilagi and fullback Elliot Daly are replaced by Henry Slade, Jonathan Joseph and George Furbank as Owen Farrell captains the team from about half. And as I mentioned, Jones has described his current squad as the most interesting of his tenure so far.
Well, good core of senior players, and then this, we've got 25 of the percent of the squad are uncapped, and some of them have played less than 20 club games, so there's a real diversity in the squad, and we're looking forward to getting the squad to meld together and see where we can go with it.
Joe, we'll get your opinion on Potter Carrington's form at a moment, but Richie Harrington has played quite well in Bermuda today.
Decent day, odd looking field, if we're being honest. Patrick Harrington just four shots off the lead on the opening day of the Bermuda Championship. He shot a 4 under par round of 67 today. The American Peter Malnati is the clubhouse leader on 8 under par. Seamus Power is currently playing the last, and he is 2 under par.
Yeah, Joe, it's not as star-studded as it normally would be in Bermuda around this time of year, but good to see Harrington getting back to a bit of form after what's been kind of a frustrating period since lockdown for him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think most of the big guns are prepping for the Masters, as we mentioned. Harrington has spent 6 to 7 months in his back garden recording approximately 5 million golf tutorial videos and has now emerged and is playing very well. And I'd say he's just happy to be out, Will.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Look, I think a lot of people have probably benefited from the lockdown in terms of particularly the chipping advice and the approach advice that Potter Carrington's put in. The one thing that struck me, Joe, about all those videos during the summer, he never managed to break any of the windows in his house, which are delicately close to the green that he has set up there.
I know, it's fearless. It's fearless. You know, you wonder how he deals with tournament pressure over the years. Nothing in a tournament could compare with the fear of smashing his window in his own house. Yeah, he goes at it. Like, he does these things where, like, he plays a hook over the roof and back around and all sorts of stuff. So isn't he, I think one of the many reasons people really like Harrington is he is in just such a pure way in love with the sport and still obsessed with the sport and enthusiastic about the sport and wants to pass on that, you know, this is what I do. And, you know, how many professional sports people by the time they're approaching 50 would be jaded by the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, look, we've got golf elsewhere happening as well, Richie, on the European Tour.
Yeah, the Cyprus Open today. Decent enough day for the two Irish in competition. Jonathan Caldwell and Cormac Sharvin both 5 off the lead after the opening round of that Cyprus Open. Both men shot 2 under par rounds of 69 today. The lead on 7 under par is held jointly by Mitch Waite and the American, although he does sound Dutch, of Johannes Veerman.
Very good. Richie McCormick, Joe Molloy, many thanks for joining us. We'll be back in a couple of moments' time. We'll be talking to John Giles about all the action in this weekend's Champions League.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.